Good afternoon, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. The Apostle Paul had to write a second letter to the church at Thessalonica to clear up a misunderstanding of the events surrounding the day of the Lord that he wrote about in his first letter to them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 begins by outlining what must happen before the day of the Lord occurs. Let's read that together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Throughout church history, many have attributed these signs to persons and events of their day. Some within our parent organization even suspected that the church leadership at various times exhibited the characteristics of this lawless one referred to in the passage we just read. But these individuals did not show the power of signs and lying wonders described here. They did not fulfill all the requirements given by Paul in his order of events for this prophecy. For instance, these individuals were not consumed by the breath and brightness of Christ's appearance. Therefore, these events down through history have not fulfilled what Paul announced would happen prior to Christ's second coming. One criterion stands out in the fulfillment of all these events: the falling away that occurs first. Paul was outlining a sequence of events to occur at the end of this present age. The falling away occurs first, then the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed to complete the time of the Gentiles, and then the return of Jesus Christ happens. Christ instructed us to watch and be prepared for that day. One of the things we should be watching for provides my title to this sermonette, The Falling Away. What exactly is this falling away that we should be focusing on? Well, immediately we are presented with the problem of understanding what Paul meant by the expression falling away. There is only this occurrence of the phrase in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, although the expression fall away occurs in three other verses in God's word. The Greek word used here in 2 Thessalonians is the word apostasia, defined by Strong's as defection from truth, falling away from, or forsaking. There are only two occurrences of this Greek word in the King James Version, here and in Acts chapter 21, verse 21, where it is translated forsake. As Peter observed, the teachings of Paul were often misunderstood or taken out of context. The incident in Acts 21, verses 19 through 21, gives an example of misunderstanding of Paul's teachings. Some Jews were spreading fake news among the brethren that Paul was teaching his Gentile converts to forsake the law of Moses. But this gives us no hint of what Paul meant by the falling away in his letter to the Thessalonians. The Greek word apostasia occurs twice in the Septuagint Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Its use shows rebellion against or forsaking God's way of life and turning to worldly events through the belief of lies and deception. In this regard, we can see how God's truth and way of life could be abandoned during end times through a great falling away. So what are the bounds of this apostasia or apostasy? Where this occurrence of apostasy mentioned in this verse fits in God's timetable of events has been a topic of debate among commentators for years. One interpretation restricts the apostasy to just the church and its periods of apostasy. But the phrase, the falling away, demands a more universal interpretation. The definite article included here with the Greek requires a singular, unique event in history that has never occurred before or ever will occur again. This agrees with what Jesus told his disciples in the Olivet Prophecy in Matthew 24:21 and Mark 13:19, that there has never been a time like this, and never will it occur again. This unique falling away paves the way for the turbulent time of the man of sin that will sway the whole world with deception and lying wonders. Here, Paul isn't referring to periods of apostasy that have occurred in the church throughout history, but rather an event that will set the stage to reveal the individual that will control the minds of men through the power of Satan to deceive. Only those led by God's Spirit will be able to avoid this deception. A falling away is occurring at the present time due to the despotic departure from our Judeo-Christian ethics. This has been going on for at least a half a century, maybe longer, but it's rapidly developing into a real crisis today. The very fabric of our society appears to be unraveling from all the deception around us. This is nothing new. Solomon said it so eloquently long ago, there's nothing new under the sun. But apostasy is escalating worldwide. This apostasy fits the Strong's definition of a defection from the truth or forsaking God's truth. The examples from the Old Testament show us that Israel's defection from God's truth always turned them to worship of pagan gods. This transformation did not happen suddenly, but gradually. We look through the lens of history and presume that it happened quickly, but our view is summarized and condensed to a few verses or a chapter from God's Word. Consequently, apostasy can be happening all around us without our recognition. We can be like the frog in a pot of water on the stovetop, with the temperature gradually rising without us being aware of it. Our consciences become seared by immersion in the affairs of this culture. We become accustomed to the changes gradually. This does not happen overnight. What happens is that we turn gradually from God's truth into apostasy and ruin. Back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul mentions the love of the truth, and we surmise that he's talking about God's word. Jesus Christ teaches us that God's word is truth, but it does not have to be that concrete. It could be simply the truth that there is a God. Paul also mentions that those falling away will have strong delusions so that they might believe the lie. He doesn't mention what the lie is. He also mentions not believing the truth in connection with falling away. God didn't create the universe without revealing himself through that creation to the mankind that he placed on this earth. His revelation can be understood by all without God's Holy Spirit opening their minds to deeper understanding. Thus, he holds all men accountable without excuse for not seeking their Creator. Humans use unrighteousness and lies to suppress the truth that there is a creator God who exists, and he is a jealous God and demands our sole allegiance and worship. This lie that attempts to undermine the God revealed through his creation is the theory of evolution, which denies the existence of the creator God. This lie is now the core of our Western culture and educational institutions. It has become so embedded in our culture as to become accepted blindly, with very few who question its validity. Our Bibles indicate how bad things will become before Christ's return. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, it asks the disquieting question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We know from Zechariah 12, verse 10, Matthew 24, verse 30, and Revelation 1, verse 7, that all nations will mourn his appearance because they have fallen away from him. Not all will have forsaken and fallen away from the truth. But this can include us if we are not maintaining a close personal relationship with our God and Creator. Although the focus of falling away in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is primarily on the world, it can and will affect the Church of God. Satan's influence in this world is so pervasive that the Church of God is touched by it in many ways. The Apostle Peter warns us in his second epistle, third chapter, in verse 17, where he says, "Dear friends, since you already know these things, continually be on your guard not to be carried away by the deception of lawless people. Otherwise, you may fall from your secure position." We must stand watchful for this deception and be resolved to remain faithful to the end of this age. We know that this present age of deception will end when Jesus Christ returns and establishes God's kingdom. He didn't commission his church to try to stop the falling away that will occur in this present age, but he ordered us to preach the gospel of his kingdom. He warned us to take heed that no one deceives us, to not become weighed down by the cares of this life, and to take heed lest we fall away. If we can maintain vigilance on these points, we will be victorious in the day of the Lord and avoid the falling away, which will cause the rest of the world to perish.